Well, last Sunday was the first Sunday of the year, and we discussed the word that God spoke over Evident Life Church during our 12-year anniversary, which was last September 2021. And the Lord gave us that word called mining, the word mining, and that He is mining. He wants to mine His church. In other words, He wants to unearth things of great value in His church, things that He has placed in His church. And who is His church? You can raise your hand. We're His church. Remember the Proverbs 25:2 that we looked at. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. And it's our glory to search out what God is saying to us. That's why we go to the Word of God. That's why we're students of God's Word, as we're searching out, as the royal priesthood, searching out the things of God. And the Lord is saying, even this year, it's another glory, it's another opportunity, it's another privilege that we have, and there's grace on us right now to search out the things that He has planted within us as the church, individually and corporately. He's deposited, He's concealed some things of great value in His church, and He wants us to find them, unearth them, appreciate them, acknowledge them, use them, thank Him for them. But how does this unearthing happen? Well, there's a lot of different ways to unearth something. First of all, if you're going to unearth something, you typically have to dig to find it, right? And there's different ways we can dig for things. Here's some pictures. We can use our hands, you know, and that's a little messy and might take a while. We can use a shovel, but how long will it take to use that shovel to get through that mound of whatever rocks, dirt, coal, whatever that is right there? It would take a long time. So that's a couple ways that we can unearth things and dig. Or we can use an excavator. How many of you say amen? Let's use an excavator. Look at what an excavator can do. Look at how much earth an excavator can move. Look at how deep an excavator can go. I don't know about you, but I want to use an excavator as we unearth things this year in the church. But here's the deal about an excavator. It's a machine. And an excavator without fuel just sits there. It's a big hunk of metal that's doing nothing. Nothing. An excavator needs fuel in order to work. And similarly, we, if we're going to dig, if we're going to unearth these things, these valuable things that God has placed in us, in His church, then we need fuel. Otherwise, we're going nowhere fast. The title of today's message is Grace is the Fuel. Grace is the fuel. God has given us tools to mine, but He's also given us the fuel to power the process of this mining. And this fuel is grace. So today we're going to explore, what does the Bible have to say about grace? What really is grace? We're going to answer three questions. Question number one is this: what is grace? What is grace? It's interesting, as I grew up in the church, grace was talked about a lot. And I had a particular perspective of what grace was. But as I began to really dive into God's Word, that perspective, that understanding, that definition of grace grew greatly. It expanded greatly. Grace, we often equate grace with forgiveness. Grace is God's forgiveness. I think it's associated, but forgiveness is forgiveness, and grace is grace. We often will equate grace with God's mercy, but there's a difference between them. What is grace? We know that we need grace to be saved. Without it, there's no salvation. We remain the same without God's grace. But what is grace? I think it's important for the church to know really what God's grace is, to understand it, to grab hold of it, and to walk fully in His grace, especially in this season as we're unearthing the things that God has in us. As we're stepping out in faith, we need God's grace. I want to start off, and we're going to let Scripture define grace throughout this morning. We're going to start off with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. What is grace? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Grace. Did you catch this? According to the Apostle Paul, according to God's word, grace isn't simply forgiveness or forbearance or pardon of our sin. Rather, grace is presented by Paul here as the power of God working in him and through him. Grace is the power of God enabling him to live, to do ministry, to be who God has called him and created him to be. In other words, grace is power, not just pardon. Grace is power. Simply put, grace is God's power released in our lives. That's grace. God's grace was the enabling power of Paul's work. Let's look at that again. Check it out. I labored, ministered, worked, lived for Jesus, however you want to look. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. As we look at Peter, 1 Peter 4:11, I believe that it's grace that Peter is referring to when he says these words. He says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. What's that strength that God provides? What is that? I believe it's grace. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So church, what do you think? Do we need this grace? The Apostle Paul did. It was God's grace at work within him that enabled him to labor for the Lord, to be used by God, to be His mouthpiece, to be His hands and His feet. It was God's grace. Church, we need God's grace in our lives. We need this fuel, this power of God as we live and move and have our being in Christ. And so what is grace? It's God's power. Grace is God's power, the fuel that allows us to uncover these valuable gifts God has placed in us. But we have some more questions that we want to answer so we really understand God's grace. Question number two, where does grace come from? Where does grace come from? Again, the Bible is going to let us know that. It's very clear, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So pretty clear. Where does grace come from? Grace comes from God. Grace comes from God. And it's actually a gift from God. That's what Scripture tells us. Grace is a gift given to us from God. I want to go back to that passage in Ephesians 2. Let's jump back to that. And look at this. For it is by grace you have been saved. In other words, it is by the power of God that you have been saved. You couldn't save yourself. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. You couldn't save yourself. I couldn't save myself. You can't save yourself. You couldn't save yourself. You were lost. You were broke. You were incapable of paying the price of restoring your relationship with your Creator. You were incapable, impossible. You did not have the power at all within you to do it. You couldn't work yourself out of the pit that you were in. But it is by God's grace, but it is the power of God that was able to save you. God's power saved you and me. And that's an amazing gift from the Lord. Amazing gift. So God gives us grace that saves us. Can we say amen to that? Let's hear it. Amen. Thank you. Amen. God's power has been at work in our lives to save us, to take us out of darkness into the marvelous light. New creations in Christ Jesus. That's serious power. Life over death. Grace. God's grace. So it saves us. But check this out. God also gives us grace, his power, his fuel that helps us live every day for him. And those of you who've been around me a little while know that one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it's an eye-opener to grace and it's an expander of understanding God's grace, his power, and that is Titus 2, beginning in verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11, speaks of God's grace, gives us great insight into God's grace, and says this: for God's grace, again, power, God's grace that brings salvation. We just read about that in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. That faith is the receiving of God's grace. For God's grace that brings salvation, God's grace that saved you has appeared to all men. And that same grace that has saved us now does what? Teaches us. Do you know when we're taught something that we're empowered? When I'm taught truth, I'm empowered now to receive that and walk in that truth. So it teaches us. God's grace saves us. And now, after we're saved, it's teaching us. It's giving us what we need. It's empowering us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And instead, now it's teaching us or empowering us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, right here and right now. God's grace. In other words, the same power that miraculously saved you, that same power now is at work in your life, available to you, teaching you, empowering you, giving you all you need now to live for the Lord and to walk in the newness that you have been saved into. It's the same grace. It's the same power. So, let me just put it this way. If we believe that God's grace was powerful enough to save us, that we would be born again, then I'm going to tell you right now, then if you're consistent with the Lord, then we have to embrace the truth that that same power, that same grace is powerful enough to sanctify us. To wash us clean, to really allow us to walk in the newness of the creations that we are in Christ, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to say yes to the things of God, to put away the past, to take off the old, to put on the new. Oh, but I've got this. Oh, but there was this, you know, we always had alcoholism. We always had this sin in our family. It runs in my family. It's just kind of like in my blood. I was born that way. Whatever the excuse, you don't understand how powerful this is. You know, is God's grace, is God more powerful? If he's powerful enough to save you, God is saying here that that same power, he's powerful enough to set you free. I love the scripture that says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I think about it this way. Who the Son saves is saved, like for real, like in every area of their lives. If he sets you free from hell, from death, from darkness, he sets you free from hell, from death, from darkness, from sin, from whatever it is that the enemy has been messing around with you with. You know what I'm saying? God's grace. It's his power at work in our lives. Not just a theory. It's not just a, well, maybe for the other guy. No. It's God's power at work in us. So God has released his power in our lives through Jesus. That justifies us, in other words, saves us, and God has released his power and given us his power, made available his power, that same grace to now sanctify us, making all things new. And that same power is the power, that same grace is the grace that allows us to say, okay, God, you want to unearth things? Then it's going to happen as we embrace your grace and as we allow your power to be at work in and through our lives. We will see these gifts that God has in his church on earth for his glory. And it says in Ephesians 4:7, but to each one, remember last week we had several passages about to each one, speaking of the spiritual gifts and the practical gifts. And to each one, again, are you one of the each ones? I mean, are you? Okay, all right, all right. I don't think we had coffee in the lobby, so I have to preach extra, you know, kind of got to get in your face to kind of keep everybody on their toes and awake and all of that. I got you covered. I'll stay right there in your face with it, okay? To each one of us, grace has been given. That's amazing. Are you an each one? If you are born again in Christ Jesus, you are one of the each ones. Okay? So I'm speaking to you if you're born again. If you're not born again, you need Jesus, and he will make you new, and you will be one of the each ones, and you will experience the power of God moving in your life, saving you and changing you. It's glorious. But those in Christ, to each one of us, grace has been, not I hope, maybe, possibly, I got a few more hoops to jump through, blah, 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 blah. No, to each one of us, God's grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. So where does grace come from? It comes from Jesus. He apportions God's power, his grace in his church. Jesus gives us the fuel. Jesus gives us the power to live for him, to be his hands and his feet, to be the redeemed of the Lord. Who can say so? Amen? Amen. So as we're unearthing these things of value, these practical gifts, remember last week we talked about practical gifts, we talked about spiritual gifts, and we talked about ministerial or leadership gifts. Those are the ones found in Ephesians, often known as the fivefold gifts. As he's unearthing these gifts, it is God's power at work in us that's empowering us in this whole process. It's not fancy, you know, whiz-bang church programs, or we're going to, you know, make it all work in our own selves. No, it's not that. It's God's power at work in us. We're cooperating with him through the process, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Because it's God working, it should allow us to chill out just a little bit. Not be so stressed out. be excited about what God's about to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says that his divine power, whose divine power? God's divine power. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Again, talking about grace. He's given us his grace. Everything we need for life and godliness. And with God, there's no fuel shortage. There's no fuel shortage with God. His grace, his power, it's limitless, never ending. I know we have a fuel shortage going on in our nation right now. Right? With God, there's never a fuel shortage. Why do we have a fuel shortage in our nation right now? Because we're so smart that we would shut down the fuel that is available to us right here that God has given us. I'm getting on a little soapbox here. I'm ranting a little bit right now. You know? Okay, so look at this. Think about this. Here's an example. This is a great example, actually. So God has given this nation, I'm just going to go for it, all right? Hope you all hang with me. God has given this nation, he's given this nation the fuel that we need to function, to flourish. It's all right here available. But if we shut it down and we turn off the pipeline, then what are we doing? Then it forces us to go elsewhere looking for fuel to be able to operate and function. And look what the result is. Are we flourishing because of it? Are people getting hurt because of it? So on and so forth. It is. I think it's the same way with God. God has given us the fuel. It's here. He's given us the grace. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's ours. It's right here. But are we keeping the pipeline shut and instead looking for power, solutions, help elsewhere? Anyway, it's an analogy. It just came to me. I thought it was all right. What do you think? I think we need to open up the pipelines also in this nation again. Get that price of oil down and gas down, and price of food will come down again, and so on and so forth. Okay, let's get back to the word here. How do we get grace? So we've talked about what grace is, where grace comes from. How do we get it? Is there a way to get grace? Is there a way to get more grace? Is there such a thing as more grace? Well, let's look to God's word, and let's let the Lord answer this question once again. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." And I think somebody needs to hear that and take that in right now. Do you really know? Are you convinced in your soul and your mind that God's grace is sufficient for you? Because if you're not, you're going to keep looking elsewhere. And it's not going to go well. For he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power," look at them together, grace and power, right? "For my power is made perfect in" what? "In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So again, God's grace is sufficient for us. And his power, that grace, his power is made perfect, released in weakness. In other words, we get fueled with God's grace in our time of weakness if we're walking with the Lord, if we're leaning on him. In our time of weakness, when the wheels are falling off, when we are running on empty, God's grace is there, and it's plenty. All we need in that moment. We get fueled with God's grace in our time of weakness. And I know in America, we try as hard as we can to avoid weakness, to hide weakness. We throw everything at it. Everything at our lives, trying to make sure that we don't find ourselves in a moment of weakness. Make sure that we have, you know, everything covered. So if anything happens, the wheels fall off, we got it covered. Again, is God's grace sufficient? We get fueled. God shows up. His grace shows up in our lives in our time of weakness. So maybe we shouldn't avoid weakness so much. Maybe we shouldn't be so ashamed of weakness. For some reason, there's so much shame that's put on weakness, yet it's in that very place of weakness that God shows up and releases His grace, His power in our lives that is all sufficient. We got to get programmed this way, by the way. Instead of being programmed the way the world's programmed us, God's grace is the power that shows up to do what we cannot do. So when we can't do it, we're talking about doing things in alignment with God's will and for His glory. When we can't do that thing, guess who shows up? God. Guess what shows up? His grace, His power. And that's what Paul is talking about here. In my weakness, God shows up. His power shows up. And so I get excited, Paul says, about my weaknesses now more and more and more, because I've seen the result of stepping out even in my weakness. I get to see God's power show up. When's the last time you allowed yourself to be put in that position of weakness? When's the last time you've allowed yourself to witness God's power show up and do what you couldn't do in yourself? You couldn't save yourself. So in your weakness, you relied on God's grace to save you. There's a lot of things in you that God wants to unearth, that if you look at it with your own eyes and with all the different things that you've already put in place so that you don't have to deal with weakness and you got all the bases covered and all that, there's things in there that if you looked at, you're going to look at and go, whoa, wait a minute, that's too big. That's out of my realm. I don't really have all of that covered. Are you missing out on seeing God's power, His grace show up in your life? I want to encourage us, church, that when the Lord unearths something, that we step into it, trusting God. You know, when we got saved, all we did was what? We showed up in our weakness, and we surrendered. And it's that way now in our walks with the Lord. God just wants us to every day to show up in our weakness and surrender to Him. And do the next thing that He's called us to do. Take the ball and run with it. But I'm weak. Exactly. Praise God. Show up and surrender. Maybe I should have titled it that. Show up and surrender. In fact, maybe that needs to be something you say to yourself, you know. Bob, Betty, just show up and surrender. It really is that simple, life with God. Show up and surrender and watch His power, His grace at work in you and through you. Then check this out. I asked the question earlier. I said, so is there such a thing as more grace? It says in James 4:6, but God, He gives more grace. And you're like, what? Yeah. You know, God's power is limitless. It's limitless. And he's saying here in James 4:6, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. But who does he give the more grace to? He gives grace to the humble. So humility, apparently, according to the word of God, which is true, Humility releases God's grace, more of God's grace in our lives, while pride turns it off. Just like President Biden with the fuel, the oil, you know, pipeline or whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I'm fixated on that right now. Deliver me, Lord. Anyway, but seriously, humility releases more of God's grace. Pride, boom, shuts it down. So I thought about this example. I'm going to call up our men's minister, Matt. Matt Dixon, would you come on up here? All right. This is why I have this stool up here. Not because I need to be taller, but
I need to be taller.
Get on up there. Maybe you'll outdo me here a little bit. Yeah, look at that. Anyway. All right. So I'm gonna do something here. This is a little brave. I'm only pulling out a 20. I'm gonna keep the other one in there. Just in case you do a miracle here. All right, so here's what we're doing. Now look. There's something of value right there in front of you, isn't there?
Yeah. Is it mine?
What?
Is it mine?
If you get it. It's yours if you can get it. But here's the deal. Okay. Now, let me clarify this. At the end of this whole episode here, I'm taking the 20 back.
Over my dead body.
This is just an example. That's all I'm saying, okay? So there's something of value right there. It's yours. All you got to do is grab hold of it. You know, Scripture says to grab hold of that which Christ has grabbed hold of for us, right? All you got to do is grab hold of that thing of power, of value. Keep your legs straight.
Oh, come on.
But the thing is that's going to be really hard to grab hold of when you're standing up, especially when you're on your high horse, on your soapbox there, thinking you're all that. You know, look at me, how tall I am and how good looking and strong I am and all of this kind of stuff. Standing on that with your legs and knees straight, it's a little hard to grab that. Can you get it?
No, we ain't going there.
No? No, it hurts, doesn't it? Right back here, it just hurts. It's burning, isn't it? It's burnt, but it's right there. Isn't that frustrating? You can't get it? But you know what? Matt, your short little arms. If you just got off of that, if you just got off of that high horse right there, off of that stool, off of standing up straight, and if you just bent your knee, and you just humbled yourself and got down low, what can you do?
Finders keepers.
You can grab finders keepers. Losers weepers. Thank you, Matt. God gives grace to the humble, those who'll bend their knee to Him. I better tuck this right back in there nice and tight. But to the proud, you can't grab hold of what God has for you. He resists the proud, but He gives grace. He gives His power. He gives all that anyone needs. He shows up in that time of weakness when we humble ourselves, when we go low before Him. How do we get grace? Where does grace come from? It comes from God. It's His power. And we get God's grace in our times of weakness when we're humble and leaning in to Him. But let me say this about humility. Humility is not inaction. In fact, if you look at what He did, that was action as He's going low, as He's getting off of that stool, as He's bending His knee, as He's getting down before the Lord. There's action that He's taking at that moment. And humility for a believer isn't a life of of inaction. It's a life of action. It's a life of stepping into all that God has called us to and doing it, knowing that God is going to show up, and in our weakness, He will be strong. And when we step out in things that are scary, God is going to show up and glorify His Son, Jesus, because it's the power of God, it's the grace of God that's going to show up and accomplish what God has called to be accomplished. And we get to be part of it. Not in our own strength, but by His grace, His power. How do we get grace? Another thing is we ask for it. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Do you know that asking somebody for help, asking somebody for something requires humility? There's so many people that don't ask for help. Guys are notorious, right? I'm not going to ask for help. We thank God now that the maps are on our phone right now, so we don't have to ask anybody else for help. Although we're asking Siri for help, nobody knows it. And so we maintain our prideful place, you know, of me, man, I know everything, I'll get there, you know. My wife says that the map program on our phone has saved our marriage, by the way, because where do I go? Honey, come on, where do I go next? You should help me out. No, anyway, just turn it on when you get in the car and thank you, Lord. God's grace. We don't have because we don't ask. Asking requires humility. You know, when we don't ask God for help, we're basically telling God, hey, I got this, I don't need you. Think about that. Well, I'm not going to ask God for help. I don't know how many of you have kids. I've got adult kids now. And it's so wise of them when they ask for help because they get help. But I know it's hard for them to ask for help. And now at the stage of life they're in, if they don't ask for help, I'm not going to help. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to ask for help. It's an act of humility coming before Him. And when we ask, we receive. Here's an example of this. I bet that there are a lot of people who need God's help every single Sunday when you walk in this room. There's something broken, something missing, something not working in your life, whether it's physical, relational, in your family, whether it's a struggle that you're having, whatever it might be. Maybe you're just down and depressed, whatever it might be, you walk in here and you need God's help. And there's a time available for you to come up and to ask God for help and to come and humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm bringing this need to you once again. And I'm gonna spend that time at the end of the service bringing it. I'm gonna do it with other prayer ministers here who are going to come alongside me, who are now going to also know that I need help. And by the way, you only need to be as detailed as you want to be anytime you ask for help, okay? But how many people, instead of coming to the Lord in that moment of needing help, just go, well, I guess I'm just going to take off. I'm just going to go. And you walk out of the room. I got this, God. I think about the persistent widow who kept coming to the Lord, kept bringing her need, kept asking and asking, humbling herself, asking, and she got it from the judge. I think about the woman who needed healing and Jesus is walking and he's on the other side of the crowd and she's so desperate for help, so desperate for what Jesus has that she works her way through the crowd to just touch his garment and she's healed. I think about the guys who were so desperate to help their buddy who couldn't walk that they rip a hole in the roof of that place and lower him down just to get him to Jesus. Desperate. Knowing that they can't fix their friend. The friend can't fix himself. He needs Jesus. And he received God's grace. The power of God was released in his life. And he was healed. By the way, do you notice that we need each other often? We need to humble ourselves and do life with one another in a way to where we're transparent enough and real enough with one another that we actually ask one another for help. Do you know that the people next to you, in front of you, behind you, around you in this room, that they are part of God's grace, they're part of the power, they're part of the resources, the tools that God has to help you in your time of need? Yet we have not because we ask not. So what are you trying to do on your own? And how's that working out for you? What are you choosing to stand tall instead of going low? I got this. Where are you saying, I got this, God? And actually refusing God's grace as you're not coming to Him in this time of weakness, in this time of need. Church, if we're going to walk in the fullness of God's grace and be the church, then we need to be okay with our weakness. We need to step out when God leads, even in our time of weakness, especially in our time of weakness. We need to go low. We need to humble ourselves. We need to bend our knee to the Lord. We need to ask. We need to trust. And we need to allow and watch God's grace move in us and through us. So this year, God wants us to unearth things in you, in us, in the church. He wants us to go to new levels in Him. That's called sanctification. That's being ever transformed from glory to glory. This is what God has for His church, but it only happens by His grace. And that happens when we're willing to show up and surrender and trust. Couple opportunities to take some steps in this, some practical steps in this. One is today, right now, at the end of this service, actually at 11:45, we're going to be in the fellowship hall. We're going to have our Find Your Fit class, and I know most of you in the room have already been to the Find Your Fit class at some point over the last several years. But this one's open to everyone. It's kind of like a refresher, a little bit retooled. And it's an opportunity to look at what practical gifts, what has God placed in me, what passions, what callings, what is the Lord stirring up in me right now that need to be unearthed right now in my life. So I want to encourage you, if you're not even signed up, you can come. We'll just order a bunch of pizzas or something like that for everybody else, and we'll make it happen, right, Pastor Phil? We will make it happen. If you already had lunch plans, why go spend the money, you know, at one of these expensive restaurants? You can't even eat for less than $15 anymore. Lunch is on us. Let's find our fit. Let's allow the Lord to unearth some things. Let's see God's grace move in and through our lives. And then next Sunday after the service is our Holy Spirit workshop. And there's another opportunity to unearth, to step out in our weakness where we just need to see God show up and we want to see those spiritual gifts in our lives. We want to, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire those gifts. Another opportunity to see what God wants to unearth. Let's stand up as we close. Lord, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You for Your grace. It is sufficient. And even now, just between you and the Lord, just begin to confess that God's grace is sufficient in your life. Just do it even right now. God, Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient in my life, God. Your grace is sufficient to make me new in every area of my life. Your grace is sufficient to break that stronghold. God, your grace is sufficient to mend that relationship. God, your grace is sufficient. It's all I need. Lord, I ask that you would help us open up our eyes, that we would see where we need to go low and humble ourselves before you. And God, give us grace to be able to see how big you are, so that in our weakness, God, we don't cower, we don't backtrack, but we step into what you're calling us to, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient.